FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 2/21/18. Well, been watching gold. Kind of made a high a couple of weeks ago. Hasn't been able to get out of its own way. Same with silver. Silver's definitely not appreciating in any meaningful way. It's kind of stuck in a trading pattern as well. And what is the story with it? Well, first, as always, be part of the show. Email us at kl@kerrylutz.com. So gold, has it seen its rise till later in the year, or is it going to keep going? What about the dollar, oil, all those things? Eric Haddock of InsideTrack.com, that's InsideTrack.com, is with us now. Eric, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me back, Kerry.
So gold kind of behaved as you anticipated, started its upward slope the end of December, and here we are in the end of February, and it looks like it's kind of running out of steam.
Yeah, I think that I'm kind of looking at a lot of these markets as being in the eye of a hurricane type of situation, where we saw some fairly dramatic moves, at least on a relative or a proportional basis, back in December and January, even into early February, depending on which of those markets you're talking about. And that now we've entered some consolidation before we kind of exit the eye, go through the next eye wall, and then really hit the storm again. But what my work has been showing all along is really the gold stocks for a change kind of led that rally in December and January. And from the time that they triggered a buy signal in early December, the expectation was that we would see a pretty sharp rally, and the upside targets that were published, in fact, we just repeated them every week in December and early January, was this very strong convergence of targets and resistance up at 92.87 to 93.06 on the XAU. And we're looking at late January as when that up cycle would run its course. And at the time, the XAU spiked up to 92.94, kind of fulfilled those targets even more precisely than I expected. And from there, it signaled a downturn. Silver also had a very important 3 to 6 month channel indicator that started to crest and turn down in late January, right on the 24th, 25th, 26th. And that was all showing me that we needed to see another decent sell-off. And the thing that's really been sticking out to me is a lot of timing indicators. This has to do with wave structure, with cycles, with some time price indicators that I use, have all been focused on early March as an important low, particularly in the gold stocks. That's where they've got the strongest convergence of these indicators coming together. And so I think that there is another leg down between now and then. Before then, we'll probably see some more sideways action. But that once we kind of really flush the remainder of the week longs out of the market, that's when I think we could see a fairly important bottom. And it would be even more convincing to me if gold and maybe silver, the metals themselves, are creating a divergent low at that time. In other words, they're pulling back but not setting new lows while the gold stocks are spiking to new lows. You often see that at a lot of the turning points. And so that would be an additional affirmation if we see something like that coming into early March.
Mm-hmm. So into March, and then what we're looking again, like this being a fourth quarter event where the eventual kicking in of the precious metals bull market starts again.
You mean waiting till the fourth quarter of 2018?
Yeah. Or are we going to see it before?
Actually, the way my work is shaping up, I could actually see this leg of the bull market culminating in the fourth quarter of 2018. So I think we are going to see a couple decent legs up in March through the third quarter, and there's some of my work in gold that shows it could stretch all the way out into November of this year. But I think that this is going to be that phase of an overall trend and an overall cycle where we start to invert. You more of the cycle is consumed with an up leg. And so instead of seeing late year lows like we saw in 2014, 2015, 2016, and 2017, we're more likely to see late year highs in 2018 and some pretty good moves up between March and then.
Interesting. So it's really going to kind of defy the seasonality of gold because, you know, the second quarter, first quarter, second quarter, generally, the end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter, generally seasonally weak times for gold, right?
You know, in recent years, that's yeah. certainly been the case. Although, you know, you even look at last year, we had one of those where gold had a nice move up stretching into April. Mm-hmm. And then it was in that second quarter when it really retraced in right. May and June and bottomed out in early July. Meanwhile, gold stocks, they peaked in early February and headed lower ever since then. So it's also defining which of the two you're focused on. And I think that a lot of times those lines get blurred together in traders' minds. And that's one of the most dangerous things is that gold and gold stocks are two entirely different vehicles.
Sure.
And often trade in very sharp contrast to one another.
Oh, yeah. Very, very true. So looking over at oil, you know, it was going up pretty well. Then it kind of hit resistance, I guess, around 65 or so. And as of today, it's, you know, 61 and a half thereabouts. What are the charts saying on crude oil?
Oil has been following the longer term and intermediate to longer term trends and cycles pretty closely. And there were a couple special reports I published last year in July through September that were really focused on an important cycle peak in January of 2018. And the intriguing thing to me back then is that normally in the dead of winter and peak of summer, you'll often get turning points with some marked divergence, kind of like I was just describing with gold versus gold stocks coming into early March. But in the oil market, at those kind of extremes where heating oil is leading the pack in winter and unleaded gas in summer, you'll often see just one of those markets set final highs in that time frame. But what my work was showing back in third quarter and fourth quarter of last year was that all of the oil markets were arguing for strong rallies into January and expecting a multi-month peak at that time. So they fulfilled that pretty nicely, and each of them saw a pretty textbook correction where they dropped right back down to the lows that had been set in November. If you're an Elliott wave aficionado, that's what's referred to as the fourth wave of lesser degree. But putting it in the simplest layman's terms, it's the low immediately before the final rally. And that's a very critical support level that needs to hold if the larger term trend is remaining up and is broken if you've set a much more significant top. And so that is often the target for an initial correction. So we saw that in all the oil markets and now a rebound. And this rebound has targeted right around 62.50 in the April crude contract. And we've just been bumping up against that. That, to me, could be setting a secondary high and then kind of see a C leg down of an ABC correction. So I think that we have definitely put in a multi-month peak in January, and we're now tracing out a multi-month corrective phase before I think crude has much chance of mounting another sustained advance.
Interesting. So it's going to be a while for crude, huh?
And as far as for any for another breakout higher, I think so.
Yeah. And dollar looks like it's coming back now, starting to come back.
It's kind of interesting the way it spiked down last week and hit some what I call my weekly extreme downside targets. My HLS indicator is how it's termed. But the dollar spiked right down to that level last week. And at the same time, it held its previous low. It held its early month low, didn't close below it. All those type of things, if the dollar had closed below it, would have signaled a continuation of what's now about a 13, 14 month bear market. But the way it spiked down there on Friday told me to expect a little bit stronger rebound this time, and that that could even stretch into early March. But I do think that the dollar has one more leg down before it's ready to set a 3 to 6 month or larger degree low.
Interesting. So I guess it's kind of going according to plan. And then, of course, we get to the 800-pound gorilla in the room, the stock market. We saw way increased volatility the past couple of weeks, way up from where it was. The VIX index, you know, went from 9 to 51 overnight. Of course, it didn't hold it. Now it's below 20. But we're seeing definitely some hesitancy, some reticence in that market, for lack of a better term.
I think that certainly is a good way to put it. And if any of the markets fit that description of eye of the storm, I think that the equity markets are it. Since middle of last year, I had been focused on a what I term a danger period, but it's how several indicators are lining up out on the horizon. And that danger period was between starting in late January, early February, and stretching into and potentially through March. So a pretty narrow window of time. But I think that we kind of saw the first shoe drop from late January into early February. We're seeing that consolidation now through the middle of that. And if a daily trend indicator that I use, if that fails to turn back up in the next couple of days, it would set the stage for a second shoe to drop in the equity markets. So that wouldn't surprise me at all. And I keep focusing or in my peripheral vision, I should say, keep my eye on some of the global indexes, in particular the European indexes and the Stoxx 50 index of European stock markets. And that, to me, I think could be the canary in the coal mine or the lead market in a corrective phase. And it's just interesting to me how it has traded over the last year to 2 years, not showing any of the relative strength that a lot of the other indexes have, and setting peaks that are significantly below their previous highs. The Stoxx 50 peaked back in April of 2015 and hasn't even gotten close to that level. But the interesting thing to me is that since January of 2016, it has had this critical kind of equilibrium point right around 29.50. And so when it bottomed in January of 2016 and started to rally, it bumped up against that 29.50 level for almost 6 months. And then after pulling back the final time, then in November, December of 2016, it finally mustered up some better upside momentum, broke through that 29.50, has never been back below it since. But after its initial surge, came back and tested it, as is kind of textbook wave and resistance support action. Then it surged up into May of 2017, then right back down to that. It's really 29.50 to 29.80 range, dropped all the way back down there, then went back up to its May highs, couldn't exceed them. And then in 2 weeks, dropped, almost 10% right back to that 29.50 to 29.80 level. So to me, that's kind of the real breaking point there. If and when, and I expect it to be a when, not an if, that Stocks 50 cash index gives a weekly close under 29.50, I think that's going to be kind of like the starting pistol being fired for a lot of the markets, getting a little bit more defensive, and that Europe could be the one leading the way lower, at least this particular leg of the market action.
I see. Interesting. So that index again, 29.50 to 29.80?
Yeah, in the Stocks STOXX 50 cash index.
Oh, sure. Okay. Interesting. So you think it's lower prices, dramatically lower? Are we going to see prices go down as quickly as they went up?
Well, I think that particular index could head back towards its 2016 lows, not necessarily go all the way down to the spike low, but 26.50 is kind of a 2 to 3 year support point in that, and that would be a significant drop for that index. And I think that could, if that happens, as I'm expecting, I think that could trigger some liquidation around the globe in equity markets, even if it's just for a few weeks. And that's really what we saw in August of 2015. It's what we saw in January, February of 2016. And then on even smaller levels, we've seen it a few times since then. But those two examples are, I think, a little closer comparison to what I believe we could see in the first and second quarter of this year.
Interesting. So what do you think it says about the overall economy, the overall global economy? Do we read anything into that?
Well, I think it certainly shows where the stronger and weaker economies are. And I've said all along that I thought Europe had more pain to undergo, particularly in this time frame. And I'm looking at a much broader time frame from 2018 to 2021, kind of goes along with some longer term expectations that I have where Europe's concerned. But I do think that they're the ones struggling more than others. But, when you have a region that large, when they undergo a decent correction, it's going to show up in a lot of the other markets. And it may not be that they're leading on their own. It may be that there's some other external factor impacting all of the markets together. But I think that one's, technically speaking, is in the most vulnerable position.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And a lot of times those corrections may not say a whole lot about the economy itself, other than just some temporary shock to the markets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it could be temporary in nature, but it looks like we've kind of seen our peak then, huh? For a while anyway.
Certainly in that index, in the U.S. indexes, I'm waiting for a weekly indicator that I use that's really my defining and filtering indicator. It's gone from up to neutral and has been stuck in a neutral phase for the last 3 weeks, but it then needs to turn down for me to be convinced that a final peak is intact. If it's not able to do that in the next week or two, I could see some of the U.S. indexes trying to retest their highs. But even that, it wouldn't surprise me to see a divergent peak if something like that is in the cards, where maybe one or two the strongest indexes manage to retest those highs while others peak out at lower levels.
Right, I see. All right. Well, interesting info, interesting insights into the potential future. As the man said, the future is always uncertain, but it certainly follows patterns. Hey, I don't know if you've been watching cryptocurrencies or not. You have any thoughts to offer on them?
Well, absolutely. And I think that they were, I don't know if it's cause and effect or it's just they happen to be the lead market. But when, in particular, Bitcoin, when it entered what was expected to be a parabolic phase in September, October, November of last year, that was really what started to align some of these other markets for some reactive moves. And when Bitcoin saw that final surge into mid-December, and it completed the, really since January of 2016, there have been four major advances in Bitcoin, and every one of them lasted almost precisely 5 months to the day. And so that's why we were looking for a mid-December peak, which was exactly 5 months from the mid-July low. And as it confirmed that a top was intact, that I think is what really paved the way for gold to see a bit of a surge, because you have that anti-dollar mentality that those investors were certainly committing more of their funds and more of their attention to the cryptocurrency. But then once that started to show signs of a bubble peaking and bursting, that anti-dollar money flowed into gold and silver. And that's why you saw that surge in from mid-December through late January. The downside, the final downside target I had for Bitcoin, there were three levels of an initial 2 to 4 week downside target. And the ultimate downside target was to get back towards its previous low, that same type of fourth wave of lesser degree support that I mentioned earlier. Depending on what source of information you're using, that low in Bitcoin is somewhere between 5,500 and 5,800.
Right.
So that was the major final downside target for the unwinding of that bubble. And a couple of weeks ago, Bitcoin spiked down into the 5,900 level, and that was pretty close to fulfilling that target. So really, I think where we're at with that is that it's seen that bubble on a 3 to 6 month basis, and it's seen that bubble burst, lose about 60-70% of its value, and now it's time for a new trend to start to develop. But after moves like that, it takes some time, where you get initial rally, then a decent pullback, but it doesn't quite drop as low as it was previously, and you kind of get that same sequence, which could stretch out for a few months here before cryptocurrency is ready to really come back to life.
So we're going to go into a little hibernation period, and then it's going to rebound. And you saw it looked like it was heading for 13,000. It had broken 12. I guess it was just yesterday. I can't remember. It moved so quickly, and then it sank last night. So kind of going to have that little zigzag sawtooth action. You think there'll be extreme ups and downs there, or is it just kind of get a little bit listless?
I think you're going to see in between there, you know, certainly not the swings you saw in December and January, but I think they're still going to be volatile. That first rally is about a 50% rebound. And when you take the peak up around a little above 19,000 and the low down just below 6,000, you've got about a 12,500 as the 50% rebound level, which is, like I said, that's often the first thing that a market tries to do, kind of come back to a balance point, and that's exactly what we saw in Bitcoin with that spike high overnight. So it's certainly adhering to some pretty classical technical type of action, and you could often, after that, you'll often see about a 50% pullback or drop of that latest rally. So, you know, it could be a $3,000 move back down to around 9,500 or so, and then maybe even a little lower than that.
Interesting. Well, hey, this is a fascinating time. You just don't know what's going to happen, but looks like the trend is your friend when it comes to cryptos, and you just have to really trade them right. You can't just buy and hold them, I guess, like you could 6 months ago.
And that's the case. I think it is more of a trading range for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. And then at some point, the bull market, or whatever you want to call it, in Bitcoin probably goes up, and it'll probably take the other major cryptos with it, huh?
If that remains the leader, you know, I think there were certainly signs in that last rally that several of the other cryptos are fighting for king of the hill, and more recently, some of Bitcoin's weaknesses have been exposed. So it may be a changing of the guard during the next leg up.
Very possible. You know what? I was looking at the chart before we got on the call here, and what I noticed is at its peak, Bitcoin was having nearly 500,000 transactions a day. It's now at around 185,000 transactions per day, and that's a sign that something's going on there. Perhaps it's falling out of favor. Maybe it's going to be Ethereum next, or Ripple, or Dash, or who the heck knows? There's so many of them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So if you had to take your pick, though, which one looks like it's the alternative to the alternative? Which one looks like it's kind of getting ready to break out from the pack?
That I couldn't even say with any conviction, so I wouldn't say at all.
Fair enough. So I guess if you're a crypto speculator, you got to spread a little bit of money around in each of the potential ones that could take over. But the problem is you don't really know, because there could be a crypto coin released today, Eric, that could blow away all the other ones and take off and bring the rest of them with it. So I guess caution is the buy word.
Yes.
All right. Well, hey, it's great to have you back on. Anyway, to find out more about Eric's work, go over to Inside Track, InsideTrack.com. You got some other sites there, Eric, that you like to direct people to?
The other one that has a lot of archived articles and analysis is 40yearcycle.com. That's the numbers 40 and then the words yearcycle.com.
Hey, and if you got a question for Eric, myself, as always, we invite you to participate in the show. Just send it to kl@carrylutz.com. Our Twitter feed's @carrylutz. And our Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Hey, Eric, always great speaking with you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me back, Kerry. My pleasure.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.